Today is the second day of November. Welcome to the Daily Audio Bible. I'm Brian, and it's great to be here with you as we get ourselves settled into this new month. And even as we do that, we're settling into the book of Ezekiel in the Old Testament and the book of Hebrews in the New. And things get moving rapidly as we move toward the end of the year, because we move through some shorter material, books of minor prophecy that are shorter, and letters from the apostles that are shorter. So we'll be touching seven of the books of the Bible in the month of November, but that'll happen a little later. Ezekiel will take us into the final week of the month, and Hebrews will take us into next week. So today, Ezekiel chapter 3, verse 16 through 6, 14. We're reading from the Good News Translation this week. After the 7 days had passed, the Lord spoke to me. "Mortal man," he said, "I am making you a lookout for the nation of Israel. You will pass on to them the warnings I give you. If I announce that someone evil is going to die, but you do not warn him to change his ways so that he can save his life, he will die, still a sinner. But I will hold you responsible for his death. If you do warn an evil man and he doesn't stop sinning, he will die, still a sinner. But your life will be spared. If someone truly good starts doing evil, and I put him in a dangerous situation, he will die if you do not warn him. He will die because of his sins. I will not remember the good he did, and I will hold you responsible for his death. If you do warn a good man not to sin, and he listens to you and doesn't sin, he will stay alive, and your life will also be spared." I felt the powerful presence of the Lord and heard him say to me, "Get up and go out into the valley. I will talk to you there." So I went out into the valley, and there I saw the glory of the Lord, just as I had seen it beside the Kabar River. I fell face down on the ground, but God's Spirit entered me and raised me to my feet. The Lord said to me, "Go home and shut yourself up in the house. You will be tied with ropes, mortal man, and you will not be able to go out in public. I will paralyze your tongue so that you won't be able to warn these rebellious people. Then, when I speak to you again and give you back the power of speech, you will tell them what I, the Sovereign Lord, am saying. Some of them will listen, but some of them will ignore you, for they are a nation of rebels." God said, "Mortal man, get a brick, put it in front of you, and scratch lines on it to represent the city of Jerusalem. Then, to represent a siege, put trenches, earthworks, camps, and battering rams all around it. Take an iron pan and set it up like a wall between you and the city. Face the city. It is under siege, and you are the one besieging it. This will be a sign to the nation of Israel. Then lie down on your left side, and I will place on you the guilt of the nation of Israel. For 390 days you will stay there and suffer because of their guilt. I have sentenced you to 1 day for each year their punishment will last. When you finish that, turn over on your right side and suffer for the guilt of Judah for 40 days, 1 day for each year of their punishment. Fix your eyes on the siege of Jerusalem. Shake your fist at the city and prophesy against it. I will tie you up so that you cannot turn from one side to the other until the siege is over. Now, take some wheat, barley, beans, peas, millet, and spelt. Mix them all together and make bread. That is what you are to eat during the 390 days you are lying on your left side. You will be allowed 8 ounces of bread a day, and it will have to last until the next day. You will also have a limited amount of water to drink, 2 cups a day. You are to build a fire out of dried human excrement, bake bread on the fire, and eat it where everyone can see you. The Lord said, "This represents the way the Israelites will have to eat food which the law forbids when I scatter them to foreign countries." But I replied, "No, Sovereign Lord, I have never defiled myself. From childhood on, I have never eaten meat from any animal that died a natural death or was killed by wild animals. I have never eaten any food considered unclean." So God said, "Very well, I will let you use cow dung instead, and you can bake your bread on that." And he added, "Mortal man, I am going to cut off the supply of bread for Jerusalem. The people there will be distressed and anxious as they measure out the food they eat and the water they drink. They will run out of bread and water. They will be in despair, and they will waste away because of their sins." The Lord said, "Mortal man, take a sharp sword and use it to shave off your beard and all your hair. Then weigh the hair on scales and divide it into 3 parts. Burn up 1/3 of it in the city when the siege is over. Take another 1/3 and chop it up with your sword as you move around outside the city. Scatter the remaining 1/3 to the winds, and I will pursue it with my sword. Keep back a few hairs and wrap them in the hem of your clothes. Then take a few of them out again. Throw them in the fire and let them burn up. From them, fire will spread to the whole nation of Israel." The Sovereign Lord said, "Look at Jerusalem. I put her at the center of the world, with the other countries all around her. But Jerusalem rebelled against my commands and showed that she was more wicked than the other nations, more disobedient than the countries around her. Jerusalem rejected my commands and refused to keep my laws. Now listen, Jerusalem, to what I, the Sovereign Lord, am saying. By not obeying my laws or keeping my commands, you have caused more trouble than the nations around you. You have followed the customs of the other nations. And so I, the Sovereign Lord, am telling you that I am your enemy. I will pass judgment on you where all the nations can see it. Because of all the things you do that I hate, I will punish Jerusalem as I have never done before and will never do again. As a result, parents in Jerusalem will eat their children, and children will eat their parents. I will punish you and scatter in every direction any who are left alive. Therefore, as I am the living God, this is the word of the Sovereign Lord. Because you defiled my temple with all the evil, disgusting things you did, I will cut you down without mercy. 1/3 of your people will die from sickness and hunger in the city. 1/3 will be cut down by swords outside the city. And I will scatter the last 1/3 to the winds and pursue them with a sword. You will feel all the force of my anger and rage until I am satisfied. When all this happens, you will be convinced that I, the Lord, have spoken to you because I am outraged at your unfaithfulness. Everyone from the nations around you who passes by will sneer at you and keep their distance. When I am hungry and furious with you and punish you, all the nations around you will be terrified. They will look at you with disgust and make fun of you. I will cut off your supply of food and let you starve. You will feel the pains of hunger like sharp arrows sent to destroy you. I will send hunger and wild animals to kill your children, and will send sickness, violence, and war to kill you. I, the Lord, have spoken. The Lord spoke to me. Mortal man, he said, look toward the mountains of Israel and give them my message. Tell the mountains of Israel to hear the Sovereign Lord's word, to hear what I, the Sovereign Lord, am telling the mountains, the hills, the gorges, and the valleys. I will send a sword to destroy the places where people worship idols. The altars will be torn down and the incense altars broken. All the people there will be killed in front of their idols. I will scatter the corpses of the people of Israel. I will scatter their bones all around the altars. All the cities of Israel will be destroyed, so that all their altars and their idols will be smashed to pieces. Their incense altars will be shattered, and everything they made will disappear. People will be killed everywhere, and those who survive will acknowledge that I am the Lord. I will let some escape the slaughter and be scattered among the nations, where they will live in exile. There they will remember me and know that I have punished them and disgraced them because their faithless hearts deserted me and they preferred idols to me. And they will be disgusted with themselves because of the evil and degrading things they have done. They will know that I am the Lord and that my warnings were not empty threats. The Sovereign Lord said, wring your hands, stamp your feet, cry in sorrow because of all the evil, disgusting things the Israelites have done. They are going to die in war, or of starvation, or disease. Those far away will get sick and die. Those nearby will be killed in war. Those who survive will starve to death. They will feel all the force of my anger. Corpses will be scattered among the idols and around the altars, scattered on every high hill, on the top of every mountain, under every green tree, and every large oak, in every place where they burn sacrifices to their idols. Then everyone will know that I am the Lord. Yes, I will reach out and destroy their country. I will make it a wasteland from the southern desert to the city of Riblah in the north, not sparing any place where the Israelites live. Then everyone will know that I am the Lord. Hebrews chapter 4. Now, God has offered us the promise that we may receive that rest he spoke about. Let us take care then that none of you will be found to have failed to receive that promised rest. For we have heard the good news, just as they did. They heard the message, but it did them no good, because when they heard it, they did not accept it with faith. We who believe, then, do receive that rest which God promised. It is just as he said, I was angry and made a solemn promise. They will never enter the land where I would have given them rest. He said this even though his work had been finished from the time he created the world. For somewhere in the scriptures, this is said about the seventh day. God rested on the seventh day from all his work. This same matter is spoken of again. They will never enter that land where I would have given them rest. Those who first heard the good news did not receive that rest because they did not believe. There are, then, others who are allowed to receive it. This is shown by the fact that God sets another day, which is called today. Many years later, he spoke of it through David in the scripture already quoted. If you hear God's voice today, do not be stubborn. If Joshua had given the people the rest that God had promised, God would not have spoken later about another day. As it is, however, there still remains for God's people a rest, like God's resting on the seventh day. For those who receive that rest which God promised will rest from their own work, just as God rested from his. Let us then do our best to receive that rest, so that no one of us will fail as they did because of their lack of faith. The Word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It cuts all the way through to where soul and spirit meet, to where joints and marrow come together. It judges the desires and thoughts of the heart. There is nothing that can be hid from God. Everything in all creation is exposed and lies open before his eyes. And it is to him that we must give an account of ourselves. Let us then hold firmly to the faith we profess. For we have a great high priest who has gone into the very presence of God, Jesus, the Son of God. Our high priest is not one who cannot feel sympathy for our weaknesses. On the contrary, we have a high priest who was tempted in every way that we are, but did not sin. Let us have confidence then, and approach God's throne where there is grace. There we will receive mercy and find grace to help us just when we need it. Psalm 104, 24 through 35. Lord, you have made so many things. How wisely you made them all. The earth is filled with your creatures. There is the ocean, large and wide, where countless creatures live, large and small alike. The ships sail on it, and in it plays Leviathan, that sea monster which you made. All of them depend on you to give them food when they need it. You give it to them, and they eat it. You provide food, and they are satisfied. When you turn away, they are afraid. When you take away your breath, they die and go back to the dust from which they came. But when you give them breath, they are created, and you give new life to the earth. May the glory of the Lord last forever. May the Lord be happy with what he has made. He looks at the earth and it trembles. He touches the mountains and they pour out smoke. I will sing to the Lord all my life. As long as I live, I will sing praises to my God. May he be pleased with my song, for my gladness comes from him. May sinners be destroyed from the earth. May the wicked be no more. Praise the Lord, my soul. Praise the Lord. Proverbs 26:27. People who set traps for others get caught themselves. People who start landslides get crushed. Okay, in the book of Hebrews, we come to a certainly very popular portion of scripture, but it also happens to be one of the guiding scriptures for what we do here every day. The Word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It cuts all the way through to where soul and spirit meet. So where is that? Where do soul and spirit meet? I've heard this scripture all my life and just always kind of moved past it by thinking, well, it goes very, very deep. That's the point. It's something that can penetrate. But where do soul and spirit actually meet? Where is it that our true selves, our spirit, and our awareness or our consciousness, where do these come together? Other than the very, very place of our identity, the eternal places within us. So the writer of Hebrews is telling us that the Word of God can counsel and rebuke and correct us at that deep of a level, at the place where all of our constructs and all of our personality and all the things that we do to make the world work fade away into what is true and implant truth at that place, thereby forming us as people and changing our convictions, ambitions, and coping mechanisms. The Word of God can speak to us there. And, you know, if you've been on the journey this year, you can already see that. You can already bear witness to the truth of that. We can all agree. The scriptures judge the desires and thoughts of the heart, exactly as Hebrews tell us today. And there aren't many things in this world that can speak that deeply, or that can navigate through the maze of who we are, our wounds, our history, our convictions, our worldview, and everything else that goes along with that. What the Word of God can and does. And so we can see so clearly what a gift it is to have the Bible in our lives every day. But this passage goes on and tells us why. It's not as popular. We probably can't quote it, but it goes on to tell us why. There is nothing that can be hid from God. Everything in all creation is exposed and lies open before his eyes. And it is to him that we must all give an account of ourselves. And with that awareness, we see the irreplaceable gift of the scriptures in our lives, being able to speak to us far deeper than really anything else can, and to guide us along the path that leads us to truth. That's what this is all about. That's why we're doing this every day. We're coming together for community around the global campfire, but the essential piece that can't be missing is the scriptures spoken over us aloud every day, because this is powerful stuff. This is stuff that can change us at the level of our identity. It can bring out into the open who we really are. And isn't that what we spend our whole lives searching for? And isn't the renewal and transformation and sanctification what we seek. That's why we just did this Global Campfire Initiative, to further strengthen and build community wrapped around the rhythm of the scriptures being spoken aloud every day. And as I've already said, I thank you humbly, those of you who stepped forward into this, so that we can continue to bring the spoken word of God to anyone who will listen anywhere on this planet, any time of day or night. Because it's potent. It orients us at the level of our identity toward God. And so, Father, we rejoice and thank you for the gift of your word in our lives, not only through the rhythm of what we do at the Daily Audio Bible as a community every day, but through the personal transformation that you bring about in our lives through your word every day. We thank you for this gift, and we open our hearts to your Holy Spirit, and we invite your word to speak into the places where soul and spirit meet. And we acknowledge that nothing can be hidden from you. All of creation is exposed and lies open before your eyes, and we want that to be true of us willingly. We open our hearts to you completely. We trust you completely. Come, Holy Spirit, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. DailyAudioBible.com is the website. It's home base. It's where you find out what's going on around here. So be sure to check it out. Check out the prayer wall while you're there. Maybe pray for some people. Maybe there's something that you need prayer for. The prayer wall is a great place for that. So be sure to check that out. If you want to partner with the Daily Audio Bible and the mission that we share in community, then DailyAudioBible.com is the place to go. There's a link on the homepage. Or if you prefer, the mailing address is P.O. Box 1996, Spring Hill, Tennessee, 37174. And as always, if you have a prayer request or comment, 877-942-4253 is the number to dial. And that's it for today. I'm Brian. I love you. And I'll be waiting for you here tomorrow.
Good morning, family. This is Pamela, resting in the Lord in Pennsylvania. I'm extremely thankful for the words that Brian read today and shared commentary on from the book of Proverbs about when we open our mouths, slicing others, and then just excusing that behavior as a joke. I have dealt with that, and I think it's starting to turn. I think God is working here, and praising the Lord for that. I am going to lift us up in prayer as we deal with people like this in our lives and try to not return evil with evil, but return evil with good. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, it's hard to live in this world. It's getting so dark. It's getting so hard. But your light still shines. It shines around us and it shines in us. So help us, Lord, to do your will. Help us to receive your word and allow it to change us from the inside out. Allow it to help us to be life-giving instead of death-giving. Guide us, Holy Spirit, every minute of every day as we maneuver through this dark world. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Good morning. This is Salt and Light on California Central Coast, I'm calling in for a prayer request for my precious friend, Janelle Block, and her husband, Harry Swigert. Janelle has cancer that has returned to her body, and Harry had surgery for his back, and the hardware they put in infected his body. They had to remove all of his metal out of his body. They are just having back-to-back battles. They both love Jesus dearly, and I'm asking for a miracle in both of their bodies in Jesus' precious name. If you guys could pray for him, I'd be so grateful. Bye for now.
Hi, family. This is Pamela, resting in the Lord in Pennsylvania. I'm calling in for, I believe it's covered by his blood. Sister, you talked about your two sons, Trayvon, and is leaving for the military, and your other son doesn't live with you, and your husband is working a lot. And you are asking God for your sight back and struggling with depression. And I just want to encourage you. I spent 22 years struggling with multiple physical ailments. Lupus was the most painful thing I've ever experienced. Pain searing through every fiber of your body. Can't regulate body temperature, legs so cold they can't warm up, and in such pain. Why am I telling you all this? Because God is faithful. God is faithful, sister. Even in the waiting, he is faithful. I encourage you to cry out to God. Cry out to God and continue to cry out to God, and you will hear your name lifted up. We will all be praying for you. God will give you a purpose even in the waiting. Even in the state you are in now, you have a purpose right now. Right here on the DAB, calling in to pray for people, whatever it may be, whatever God directs you. I'm praying for you, sister.
Good morning, DAB family. This is Clever Lisa T in Tennessee. And this morning I'm calling for Bob from Phoenix. You called on October the 25th. I wanted to share a quick story. My father-in-law, whose name is also Bob, is 75 years old. And 1 week ago, he made the best decision to surrender his heart and his life to Jesus Christ. And this morning, I am preparing, as I speak to you, to take him to church where he is scheduled to be baptized. He was adamant about following through with believers' baptism as a sign of obedience. And his story is probably a little different than yours. He has a terminal cancer diagnosis, and he's on home hospice. But after decades of our family praying for Bob and witnessing to him, last week he truly, truly turned his life over to the Lord. And we can tell a difference in him. He has a different countenance about him. He has a peace that he did not have before. He was truly afraid to die and to leave this earth. But that fear has since been replaced with a peace that only the Lord could provide. And he's just a changed man. He recognized the sins that he carried. He recognized his need to repent. And so turning that over to the Lord has made a profound impact, obviously, on his eternal life. And I wanted you to know I'm praying for you, Bob. I'm praying that you get to the same place that this Bob has, and for your peace and for your love for the Lord. It will happen. I believe it.